Good day, nerds, and welcome to episode 201 of the Nerd Cantina Show. I'm your host, Ken, joined by my co-host, Steve, and we're going to recap this week's nerd news. Beginning in entertainment, we'll talk about the Batman upcoming sequel, some HBO news, and then we'll jump over into tech where we'll talk about the latest NFT marketplace, big news in the Bored Ape Yacht Club, and then really just a bunch of Elon Musk news. A lot to get to. Let's go ahead and get started.
Calling back all nerds.
Nerds!
All right, episode 201. And this week, we got a few things to talk about here going into this week of big news. And let's just jump right into the first thing that really just kind of released today as we're recording this, and Batman sequel confirmed that there's going to be another Batman movie with Robert Pattinson, Zoe Kravitz, the whole team from The Batman is returning.
Yeah, who didn't see that coming?
I honestly, it had to come, right? Like, it had to be the thing, because if it wasn't, then what are we going to do? Restart this whole thing? Like, I wasn't a big fan of the Batman. Like, you know, some people really liked it. The article we read was from IGN, and they reminded us that they gave the Batman a perfect 10 of 10 score in the article. Okay, cool. It was not a 10 of 10 movie, but okay.
I watched it again with my girlfriend, and she couldn't believe how, like, she's like, this is not a good movie. It's like, yeah. She's like, I can't believe it's been 2 hours already. What is going on here? And I was like, right? I was like, right?
Yeah, like, I stick by the fact that this was, it was not a very good movie. It was an okay movie. And it at least sets the scene for hopefully better movies. Like, that's the whole point, like, of this crawl of a movie and introducing so many characters and stuff like that, is that hopefully it just builds into things that are worth doing. So I guess at this point in time, if you gave me the option of to not have any more Robert Pattinson movies, which means I know that I have to stomach a new Batman and go through the whole cycle of rumors and talking about Batman, the random videos of behind the scenes and all the other nonsense, we're gonna deal with all that again. At least now we could just move forward, and I'm much happier with that than the alternative.
Yeah, I mean, let's see if they do better. Like, let's see. I don't have much faith, because, like, I remember thinking the same thing with, like, Wonder Woman. Wonder Woman wasn't a good movie, but it's like, it wasn't bad. It had some good bones. Like, let's see if we could build on it. And then they came out with Wonder Woman 1984, and I was set a good foundation and then just built a house of toothpicks. So, I we'll see. But we all knew this. Like, they just kind of, like, put the rubber stamp on it. Everybody knew this was going to be a thing.
Yeah, I'm really curious to see what's going to come first. I'm assuming it's the HBO Max shows that they're going to have in the interim between the Batman and whatever movie they do next. So I'm more curious, actually, to see what they do there, because it's probably going to have loose tie to Batman himself. But maybe it's going to be the origin story of the Penguin, or maybe it's going to be something else that I'll actually find more interesting than seeing Robert Pattinson.
Yeah, I mean, if they were smart, they'd figure out how to time it all out, pretty good. Like, man, I give Marvel, like, mad credit that, like, that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. show wasn't, like, phenomenal, but it was good enough to watch. And they had it timed out so that when one episode aired on, like, 1 week, then Civil War came out that Friday. The next week on the TV show reflected Civil War. Like, that shit went down on the TV show. Like kudos. Like, if they were smart, they'd be doing some shit like this. Like, let's time out the TV show so that after the TV show, a month to, whatever, however it goes. But, they're not going to do any of that.
Yeah, so I don't know. I'm not going to have too high hopes. I think that's the good thing about where we're at with DC, is we keep our expectations at an appropriate level, so we're not too disappointed as these things move along. So I'm just curious to see where it's going to go. Let's see if we get an HBO Max show in 2023, maybe a new Batman in 2024. That's probably what, like, I would guess it's going to be, even though they haven't really hinted at any of it.
No, it seems accurate.
But let's go ahead and move on with some more Warner Media talk. And We talked last week about the Netflix share dump after they lost, 200,000 subscribers, and that resulted in a huge cut of their revenue and their shares. And then now we look at this week, we get news from HBO Max saying that they gained 3 million subscribers. So I guess that's where they're all going. I guess that's where everybody's moving to is the alternatives to Netflix, HBO Max being a big gainer this last quarter.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to think of like all the different movies that came out. You know, Batman just came out on HBO Max. Dune came out on HBO Max. I'm trying to think of like what this quarter would have got a bunch of people to sign up, you know, what TV seasons were going on. But I mean, everybody's picking their sides, right? Like, like you're not going to get them all. So it's like everybody's trying to see what the value is. And like, yeah, I think HBO puts together quality entertainment. They could get the subscription.
Yeah, I'm not surprised to see them still gaining. And they, honestly, they're still pretty low down on like the total market share when you look at them in comparison to Netflix or anybody else. So they've got room to gain for sure. I'm sure they're not going to be able. They gained 12 million total over the last 12 months, 3 million this quarter. They're not going to be able to keep that up forever, gaining 3 million per quarter. But so it'll eventually slow. But again, they do have a lot of room to gain on Netflix. So I don't know. We'll see this goes. One of the big interesting parts of like the article talking about their overall revenue is that while they gained, HBO Max gained a ton of subscribers, they didn't eke out very much more profit, mostly because the Warner Media side of that whole HBO Max thing and the merging of Discovery and everything else, like they're not all that profitable. Not like what you see with Netflix, where, you know, Netflix is losing subscribers, but they're still making tens of billions of dollars. HBO Max, not so much. They've still got a lot of growing pains to deal with, getting through all this Discovery merger, from having Discovery have its own thing that didn't work out well, CNN Plus debacle of that getting canceled, all this stuff.
They need another, you know, big show. Like if HBO Max comes out like when The Sopranos is running, when, you know, like, yeah, like at the
early days of
Game of Thrones, like, yeah, like, you know, people would have been signing the fuck up, you know, like they don't have that show right now that is in the, you know, the what they used to call the water cooler. Like, what do you call that now? Like, I don't know, everybody's on Zoom meetings and fucking COVID fucked up the water cooler talk. Like, there is, yeah, there's no water cooler anymore. Like, I don't know. But yeah, the what they used to call the water cooler show, there is none on HBO right now at the moment.
I don't know. They got a new Game of Thrones coming soon, so I don't know how many people are going to be diehard to go tune into that.
I mean, I'm going to watch it, but I got it anyways. Like, it's not, I don't think that's the show that's going to be like, you know what? I should get HBO now. Like, like, I don't see that being the case.
Yeah. Well, let's keep moving on from one major media company to another. And this one's, it's a touchy topic here. We try not to get too political, and this is quite literally in the realm of politics, but it also affects a major media company. And I find the story just interesting. And that's, you know, Florida legislator decided to take away the special districts and privileges of Disney World in the state of Florida, which it's really all resulting, you know, there's a big chain of political events that took place with the bills getting passed in Florida, and Disney coming out against it. And then like, Governor Ron DeSantis flat out stating that, like, because of the stances that Disney has taken, that not in his state are they going to get special privileges in the special district. And then signed the bill taking away their special district. And in the end, it's not going to have any impact on, like, the bottom line for Disney. Like, it might as far as, like, taxes and stuff like that. But whatever. They've got money to shed off to handle those things. It's an interesting story about the sway and the decisions being made around.
So from what I understand, like I didn't really understand how Disney operated before, like that they have their own fire department, they have their own police department. Like,
that was one of the things that I wanted to bring up. Like, it's one of the more fascinating things about this is, like, I wanted to get through the political stuff. And so we're like, really? Like, they're their own country in Florida.
Like, Disney World's like the United States Vatican. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like what the fuck? Like, Mickey Mouse is the Pope of the United States? Like, so...
Yeah, I thought, like, Disney World was just a cute name or whatever else. But no, that's, like, literally their own world. They just own their own space.
Which is weird because, like, this whole bill doesn't feel like... It does much. So, it revokes her special district. So, now they can't... has to supply the fire... the county that they live in. So, taxes... They're going to collect taxes from Disney World. But now they also have to provide essential services. So, like, it's almost a wash. It's probably, like, minuscule in either one's favor. Who knows? Like, but it's just...
Yeah.
It feels like a big nothing burger. Like, it's all just political posturing. It's so weird. But, like, I do find it funny because it's like they've built such a massive stronghold in Orlando. It's like, what are you going to do? Move? You going to move, Disney?
Oh, yeah. Like, you going to move? Disney doesn't really have any cards to play here other than the fact that, like, okay, they're done, like, donating to Florida politicians. but, yeah, one of the more interesting things about this whole story is, yeah, for 55 years, Disney's been operating as its own, like, little autonomous country in the middle of Florida, being able to do whatever they wanted. Yeah, that's what
I found most fascinating about the whole story once it all came out. I was like, really? Like, and then, you know, my stoner ass just envisions, you know, the Disney World Fire Department of just, you know, goofies running with ladders and fire hoses, you know, fucking Donald Duck in a policeman's uniform. Like, I just went down the stoner road and it amused me for a good 5 minutes in my own head.
Yeah, I can see that. All right, well, that's it for entertainment this week. Not too big topics there in entertainment, but let's jump into some tech, and we'll always jump right into crypto and NFTs as I like to spend my time. And first up this week, we had Coinbase, which is, you know, the only publicly traded crypto exchange, and they've been teasing out the fact that they had this NFT marketplace coming for a long time, and it actually, like, unveiled in beta. Not everybody has access to it yet, but people were able to see the interface, which projects were on it, and Coinbase, it's in the NFT game now, which it brings millions of people who don't have MetaMask wallets, don't have all the, you know, the more nerdy side of the NFTs and crypto world. You know, people sometimes just want to log in with a username and password and be able to get access stuff through Coinbase, and this is going to be huge for those people.
Well, and they also, their marketplace also kind of is like a social network as well. Like, from what I was told, you can, like, comment on people's NFTs. You can, like...
Yeah, I'm sure that's not going to last long.
Oh, like, man... Well,
no, that is not going to last long, because not only can you comment on people's NFTs, but you can comment on people's NFTs that they own. So what happened, because degens are going to do degen things, and when people, like, listed an NFT for sale, the comments for on their NFTs immediately went to, like, you paper-handed bitch. You selling this shit? And, like, so...
Yes.
It immediately went into, like, degens calling people out for undercutting the floor, for being paper-handing. Like, it immediately devolved to exactly what you expected to. So, like, that feature is not going to stay, I promise you. It is not going to stay on there.
I'm here for that. Ridicule that man. Boo this man.
But yeah, they are trying to have some level of social kind of interaction that takes place, where you can kind of curate your wallet and people can comment on your wallet and stuff like that. Like, and I think that's all. That's definitely in the future of NFT in general, is integrating NFTs in your wallet and demonstrating and flexing what you have in social platforms. Like, so that doesn't surprise me. It's just, yeah, the way Coinbase did it, where people can comment, like, specifically on, like, your listings and your NFT, that was a bad choice. That was somebody who did not understand the space thought, this is a good idea.
Yeah, no, we'll see where it goes. Like, So, the same thing happens on, like, Instagram. You use the hashtag NFT on Instagram, and you have, like, 12 bots commenting, showcase it on blah, blah, blah. You know, sell it here. Like, you're going to have to kill bots. You're going to have to moderate it. But I don't know. I can see the need for, like, a Instagram-like NFT marketplace. Like, I don't know. We'll see where it goes.
Yeah, one of the interesting things to me is that, like, Coinbase was really marketing themselves. They were, like, partnering with NFT projects to be, like, launch day partners that were going to come out. And that, like, drove the price of certain NFTs for a little while, where people were like, oh, hey, Smilesverse is going to be an initial launch partner, where people bought up Smilesverse, but thinking that, like, okay, that massive exposure. And it really seemed like Coinbase was going to, like, curate which NFT projects. Like, they were just going to hand select the ones that had good teams, good artists, or whatever else. Like, it was going to be a curated NFT platform. And then the beta launches, and everything's on it, and everything's verified. Whereas, like, even OpenSea hasn't verified a lot of these projects yet, but Coinbase verified them all, like, they're as legitimate project, which isn't that hard. Like, OpenSea just sucks. But it kind of made it to where, like, it really defeated the whole, like, that concept that a lot of people really thought that, like, Coinbase was going to be this gatekeeper and curate ones that people who were investing in NFTs or buying NFTs on Coinbase, they were only buying the best ones. Like, they were making it simple, the choices simple for people who are buying NFTs on Coinbase, which are not the degens who've been in the space for the last 2 years doing NFTs. That's not the case. Like, no, the shit NFT projects are on Coinbase just as they are on OpenSea and anything else.
Coinbase has got the name recognition now, you know, with the, you know, it, there's, they're gonna be able to partner with certain celebrities, certain influencers, and
get
exclusivity. Yeah. It's, you know, it's gonna be a long road.
It's
just like how
it's Coinbase that announced that they're gonna do the 3-part movie series with Bored Ape Yacht Club, right? Absolutely. Like, yeah, Coinbase will use their money, their publicly traded money, in order to probably get some exclusive things where they'll make it to where certain projects are going to be sold directly on Coinbase. So I'm certain of that too. But we can just keep chugging along. I just mentioned Bored Ape. Might as well go with that as the next story here. And the details were announced about what the sales are going to look like for Bored Ape Yacht Club Metaverse. And it's going to be, you know, it's called The Other Side. It's launching this weekend on the 30th. And it's going to raise hundreds of millions of dollars. It's going to absolutely sell out. They announced also that you're going to have to buy any land that you buy through their metaverse in ApeCoin, which has already seen a pretty good pump in ApeCoin price because of this announcement. It was pumping already a bit because people were anticipating, like, it wasn't a very well-kept secret that this was the case, but even the confirmation saw an immediate price increase. And going all the way up until Sunday when the sale goes live, there's probably going to be an uptick in price, I would imagine, as a lot of people are going to be storing up thousands of dollars because we don't know what the price is going to be. It's going to be a Dutch auction format. But man, there's going to be so much money flowing into this project.
Yeah, it's crazy to think of all, like, how much money is flowing into the digital world. Like, it is staggering now, like, the amount of wealth that is being flown through multiple blockchains, and like, it's insane.
Yeah, it really is, and I don't know if it's not. I don't see it letting up. I do think we're going to hit a fever pitch point, and everything's going to kind of start to settle a little bit. Maybe we're starting to see that now. You know, NFT whole market is down, been going down for a couple weeks now. So I don't know. We're going to see where it's going. Crypto's not looking very good price wise this week. The NFT market's not looking very good this week, but all that changes on Sunday when hundreds of millions of dollars flow back into it to buy digital land in the Bored Ape ecosystem. And then we'll see where it goes from there. But another project that did well, when we're talking about in this kind of downturn, but where we see other big money coming into it, is there was this project called AkuTars, which it's an interesting project. It's ran by Micah Johnson, who was an ex MLB player who got hurt, and then in his, like, rehab and while getting hurt, just decided he wanted to focus on art. He was always an artist, wanted to focus in that realm. He became very influential in kind of the NFT space, has some like really high level partnerships and stuff like that. And he's got interesting art. And he created this character called Aku when like Micah Johnson's an African-American, when his, I think it was his nephew, like asked him flat out, like, hey, has there ever been a black astronaut or whatever else? And it hit Micah Johnson that, okay, there's obviously underrepresentation there. So he created this character, which is a black astronaut wearing this like massive helmet and stuff like that. And now he's like built this whole ecosystem and NFT project around it. Again, huge partnerships. Everybody knew this one was going to do well. Well, the team went into this mint with a contract that was a bit novel, knew it was a good idea. Dutch auctions generally start at a high price. They slowly drop down until it sells out. But the problem with the traditional Dutch auctions in the NFT space is when it sells out at that lower price, if I jumped in at 3 ETH, because I wanted to make sure that I got mine and I wasn't going to risk buying at the end, but then it ends up going down to 1 ETH. Well, I eat that extra 2 ETH. I just paid 2 ETH more than everybody else. And that's kind of unfair for your most kind of passionate people that come out and say, hey, I'm willing to pay the max price. So they're trying for the first time a Dutch auction where as the price drops, like if I jump in at 3 ETH and it drops to an ETH and a half, I get refunded that ETH and a half afterwards, which is a great step forward for that type of system to reward, again, your most passionate people. Well, they did it terribly. and this is where it turns. Because apparently, like, there were people that knew that this contract was bad, that it was not well vetted, advised the team that it wasn't well vetted. They went ahead anyway, didn't have their smart contract audited all that well. And then in the mint, there was essentially a white hat hacker who went in and made an exploit into it to where he was able to lock it up to where he made a bid that essentially was kind of like an invalid bid that couldn't be refunded, and it locked up everybody's refund. So all the people who did bid high when it minted out, they couldn't get access to the funds. And this person literally just put a note in the code that just said, I don't want any money or whatever else. He wasn't holding other people's money ransom or anything else. He just put a note in there saying that all he wants the team to do was to address that they made an error and that they made a mistake. And then he was going to release the rest of the funds to the people. So that happened. They admitted the mistake. This person who very easily could have just held everybody's money hostage until he was paid out, released the funds. People got their refunds back. Yay for the NFT buyers. And then another problem happens with their bad code, in which the smart contract needed to verify that every bid was refunded before the team, the developers and everybody else can get paid. Well, the way they wrote it, the counter as far as how many needed to be refunded didn't match appropriately. Essentially, it didn't match there was too many bids and not enough refunds because not everybody gets a refund. And because of that, because of the way they wrote it, and because that argument on the code cannot be completed, fulfilled, $34 million is forever locked into that contract. There is absolutely nothing anybody can ever do to make that statement on that code be fulfilled. It is over. $34 million that this team raised, these supporters put into this company as a seed round to do development later and to build out whatever their system is going to be, $34 million burnt, which should have been some of their profit, but a lot of the money that they were going to use to develop on their roadmap and develop on their stuff. I think this is like, it's just a terrible example of kind of like recklessly going after this kind of space. Like you there's red flags. The team didn't want to admit it. The team didn't want to dig into deeper. And in the end, like, man, it's a shame to see so much money just gone, like unlockable. Well, for anybody who's not into crypto, like this is probably like so such ridiculous.
An easy like problem, like how do you make that mistake? Like some people aren't going to get the refund because they bought it at the lowest spot. So like. It sounds like just such a shitty math thing, mistake to make, you know, like, Like we've all tried to, you know, just do a simple math problem, you know, in our heads and fuck up and you're like, oh shit, like I forgot to carry the blah blah blah, or you know, it's just like, but yeah, that stupid fucking same mistake cost these motherfuckers $34 million. Like, and now all these people got this NFT that they thought was gonna, you know, lead into future mints or, you know, a token or whatever the case, whatever this project was doing, and now all that shit's out the fucking window.
Like, I mean, you would think so, but no, it's not. In the end, like, they still, as of today, they revealed all of the NFTs. They still airdropped all the NFTs to the people. I think last I looked, like the floor price on this project was still like climbing to like 1.8 ETH for this NFT. So they're still getting a ton of secondary sales and secondary money coming in, as well as like investor capital will come and fill that hole or whatever they need. Because again, Aku has partnerships with like Puma and other things. Like, it's a huge project. So they're still going to be, they're going to be just fine. It's a bit ridiculous. Again, people who are like not into crypto probably think that this is stupid. Like, how could $34 million ever just disappear? And it's like, well, this is the pros and cons of the blockchain, right? It's this trustless system. You don't have to trust human beings. It's all on the blockchain. It's all on the contract. Well, but when you deploy a smart contract, you can't change it afterwards. Like, that's the beauty of it. Like, nobody can hack the smart contract afterwards or change the contract afterwards to screw you out of money or to screw a transaction or to steal your money after the fact. But if the contract is bad, there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah, it's so you figure there's going to be a future industry of just people overseeing smart contracts. Like,
oh, I mean, there's tons of auditing companies. They just didn't use them, and there were people like that told them, hey, there are red flags in your contract. Have you had it audited fully? And they just didn't. They didn't go through. There are test nets. There are ways to test these contracts before they're officially deployed, that you can put them on test nets and deploy them and then run through simulations. Like, there are definitely companies right now that all they do is audit smart contracts.
Yeah, fuck them.
that's right. Like, I was in a Twitter space this weekend, it just being an asshole, like shitting on this team and these people, because on Twitter, everybody was just like, full of compassion. Oh, I feel so bad for Micah and for his team, and we wish them the best and hope they recover and whatever. I was like, fuck these guys. Like, I don't wish them badly, but at the same point in time, like, no, be accountable. Like, you fucked up.
Yeah.
And you fucked, like, it's a lot of money from a lot of people, and you fucked up. And like, the refunds that got back to the people only happened because an altruistic hacker got you, and not a shitty hacker who tied up the refunds that should have gone back to your people, to your supporters, but then they could have very easily just locked it up forever too.
Yeah.
Like, no, yeah, just be accountable. I don't feel bad for you. Like, compassion, I'll save my compassion for the other victims that aren't from incompetence.
Well, speaking of incompetence.
Yeah. So we've got another beauty of smart contracts, a demonstration of smart contracts here. And this was just a funny story where a hacker essentially stole $1 million by destroying a decentralized finance system, which was kind of a small decentralized finance system. There was a hacker who found an exploit, exploited it to where he was able to like drain out the entire like financial rewards out of this system. And in order to do so, he drained out the system, drained out the rewards, was supposed to transfer then the money into personal wallets and whatever needed to do from there. And then the wallet that drained the system was set to self-destruct, and the wallet was going to be completely locked and unusable from that point. Problem is, just mixed up the steps there and put the wallet in self-destruct mode before remembering to take out the $1 million. So this person literally crashed an entire DeFi system, new DeFi system, got the $1 million in that thing, but then set it to self-destruct and never took the money out. So just another $1 million burnt.
This is so funny because it's like all these people in DeFi were probably, you know, that this shit is happening to are the same motherfuckers that sat in algebra class going, when am I ever going to use this in life? Like, you didn't think about wanting to draw some, you know, 10,000 weird PFP pictures, like, and distribute it for money. And next thing you know, yeah, you're just the butt end of a shitty article that we're talking about on our podcast. Like, I find it so funny. Like, yeah. 'Cause it's not the nerds that are doing these things. It's everyone that was in the back of the class that came in like me, stoned as hell, and it's just like, man, you know, like, I could do this. I could do this for sure. Like, no. 'Cause I mean, I see it. I have to read a tape measure at work, you know, and that's fractions. And you'd be astonished. You'd be astonished as how many people can't read a goddamn tape measure. And like, you have to explain common denominators and all that shit. And it's just like, yeah, these same assholes are writing smart contracts on the blockchain. Good fucking job.
All right. Well, let's just keep getting through our crypto talk here this week, but we've got one more. I think only one more. Yeah. One more story in crypto. And that's just it's just an update with the company Stripe, which is a big financial tech company, payment processing company. And they're getting into crypto this week and allowing Twitter users to get paid in stablecoin. So there's a way to be like a super follower in Twitter now. There's a way to give people tips and like Twitter spaces and stuff like that. And now you can tip people in USDC, the stable coin that's tied to and pinned to the value of US dollar. And you might be asking, why? Why is this important? Why does it matter if it's USDC, which is the exact same equivalent in value as the dollar, why wouldn't you just give it to somebody in a dollar? Well, Twitter's a global thing, and it is way easier to give somebody in, pick a different country, USDC, and let them do what they want with it, than to tip somebody in another country US dollars and then watch them lose a significant chunk of that as they transition that to something that they can use in their country or whatever else. So this is kind of one of the beauties of cryptocurrency is the ease of transfer, the low cost of transferring, the globalization of it, even though it's tethered to the US dollar for value purposes. It can be used globally and transacted globally. It's kind of a brilliant idea. It's in a global marketplace like Twitter. It's a brilliant use of it, and glad to see it.
Yeah, I heard there's something else going on with Twitter too, but
I think that's next. So yeah, let's just talk about it. Now let's get into our Elon segment, which is the rest of the show.
I literally sat here because Ken was a little late to log in. I sat here for a half an hour and tried to think of a Musk pun to name this end of the show segment on the outline, considering how many Elon stories are here. That last name was almost unpunnable. Like, I couldn't do it.
The Musketeers have been around for a while.
Yeah, like, I was trying to go somewhere, a different route, and, you know, yeah, there's not a good pun for Elon or Musk to transition into a segment of the show.
No, there isn't. So let's just jump into it. And like the whole saga, right? We've talked about it, I think the last 2 weeks, right? We talked about the last 2 weeks, two or three weeks ago, two episodes ago, was when he bought 10% of the company. We were speculating what that was going to be. Last week was where
the tweet.
He wasn't going to go on the board, and he did the tweet to purchase, and Twitter board pretty much said no.
We talked about the poison pill.
Yeah, we talked about the poison pill that they were like really gearing up to like, hey, block him from even taking like a hostile takeover and all that other stuff. And then the shareholders got a hold of him and said, like,
we love money.
This guy's going to overpay the hell out of us.
We love money.
And here we are, where as of today, Elon Musk's offer was accepted by the board of Twitter. And
they filed.
He has locked in the funding. They have filed. He is going to become, whenever the paperwork is done, the official owner of Twitter, and will probably very shortly afterwards take it private and out of the stock exchange.
I just think it's so funny as to how many people like have made this story like the center of their universe. Like, this is some like huge overreaching. Like, we have corporations buying up food like the meat you eat is created by three different companies. There's all kinds of like industrial complexes going on behind the curtain of this fucking country where uber rich motherfuckers are affecting your life greatly on a daily basis. And this motherfucker buys Twitter and everyone loses their shit. It is amazing to me.
I mean, it is the reaction of it all is wild. Like, to me, that's just the craziest thing of it is like, all right, we've just got somebody who is just rich enough and bored enough to like just be slightly perturbed by a company.
Well, the amount of money that's being exchanged. Not care at all about the
profitability or anything else and just say like, this is mine now. Like,
it's mine. It's mine.
I don't like the way you're doing this. This is mine.
I can do this better. I'm going to overpay for it. I can do this better.
I don't even know if he cares to do it better. That's the thing.
Well, no, he laid out a few things that like they want to do is they want to scale back on the ads. They want to verify. By
better, I mean like profitable. I don't know if he cares to be more profitable.
He doesn't care about being more profitable, but that's why he took it private. You know, like it's not having the worry of being profitable allows him to just try to make it better, you know, because if they got to burn through money, like according, you know, I think he leveraged like $22 billion on a loan. The interest of that alone is $1 billion a year. Just the interest on it. It's not even the principal, you know, so like he's going to burn money, but he feels it's like an altruistic endeavor, like it's for the good of society, and we'll see that. Like, I'm not here to say yes or no on that. We'll see how it pans out. I don't
know if that's an accurate statement. Who knows?
But I do like some of the ideas he's laid out. Verifying humans, you know, to you know, if you have a parody account, people are going to know it's a parody account. If it's Russian bots or whatever the case may be, if you don't have a certain, you know, the blue check is going to mean something different, I think, from now on. Like, there's taking less ads, making the algorithm open source so people can understand why you see what you see and how things get taken down and why they get taken down. Like, he wants transparency. He wants to build trust. Like, I don't know, man. I don't see why everybody's freaking the fuck out.
Like, yeah, like I'm definitely not against this. I think it's a hilarious like use of just a ridiculous amount of capital. I do spend way more time on Twitter than I ever want to, but at the same point, it doesn't really bother me, like the experience or whatever else. Like, this was not something I needed him to do, but now that he's here, like, cool, all right, let's see where you go, let's see what
the reaction to it, you know, like what, like,
yeah, that this was like a front tweeted, against
people have tweeted that this is going to cause World War III. Like like the reaction to this when we have had, you know, Amazon owns everything. The amount, like, this is the billionaire fight you want to pick. Like, this is the billionaire hill to die on. Like, I just don't understand it. It's so funny to me. And I'm interested to see where he takes it. If he burns it all down, that's funny too.
It would be funny.
If he burns it to the ground, like, whatever. Like, I'm just here for the show.
Yeah. Well, speaking of about billionaire fights,
I love this, actually, though. I love this. Oh, I 100% love this.
So there was a little bit of spat between Elon Musk and Bill Gates this week. It became public knowledge that that Elon Musk turned down working with Bill Gates on some philanthropic work. Like, screenshots from text message conversations were released or leaked or whatever. And it just showed Bill Gates essentially asking Elon, you know, to collaborate on philanthropic work, and Elon...
Well, not just philanthropic work, climate change.
Yes, specifically climate change.
Because that's, I think, important in the story.
It is.
I think that's an important little tidbit of information.
And Elon asked him if he still has a $500 million dollars worth of a short position against Tesla, which Bill Gates admits that...
Which, for those that don't know, it's like betting against the house.
Tesla's gonna fall.
It's betting on Tesla doing bad.
And Bill Gates admits yes, but he's, you know, reaching out to try to talk about climate change. And Elon just tells him, like, well, he's not going to work with somebody who has a $500 million short position on his company, which is doing more for climate change than any other company in the world. And it's just a strong move. Like, it really is. I respect it. It is more like, yeah, you are betting against a company that...
Like, I'm making solar panels. I'm, like, home batteries.
Made electric cars, viable and cool.
Open patented and all that shit. Like I have done more to help this planet than anybody else. And you got the fucking nerve. Did you see the tweet he also put out where it's the picture of Bill Gates?
Oh yeah,
with the pregnant man emoji man emoji next to it.
And I love Elon, and I hate, like, I find it hilarious. Don't get me wrong, I've got a sense of humor. That shit is hilarious. But at the same point, it's kind of like, fuck you, Elon. Like, that is absolutely ridiculous. What was the caption? It was like, in case you need to lose a boner, yeah, or something like that. Like, I mean, really, those are the moments where, one, it's hilarious that the richest man in the world, or second richest man in the world, or third, or whatever he is today, is just capable of doing this and just doesn't care. And at the same point in time, it's kind of like, but I kind of wish you were a little better. it's funny, but it's a little fucking ridiculous. I don't know.
Nah, man, I'm here for it.
Not a fan of it.
I'm here for it.
Not a fan of it.
I'm here for it.
I wasn't a fan.
I'm here for it.
It's just childish as hell. Like,
he just basically looked over, like, Elon's the guy at the party that, you know, just like looks at the guy, like walks up and just like thumbs over and like, look at this dude. Who's this dude? You know, like, he just did that to Bill Gates. Like, look at this dude. Who the fuck does he think he is? He's over here betting money against me. He's going to ask me for some change to help climate change. You know, like, get the fuck out of here. Like, I
don't know.
I love this story. I think it's great that it leaked. I don't know how it leaked, but I'm just so glad that it leaked. And then he's like, oh yeah, no, that's for real. That happened. Elon came out right away like, no, that's, you right, that's right. Like, man, and just to think that you could be that rich and just uber petty too, like,
yeah,
like, it's not even fair, man. Like, how do you get to have all the funds? Oh, I love it.
I love the whole ballsy move of the thing. Not a big fan of the joke. Maybe I'm a little uptight. But I just hope that people don't make fun of my lack of sexuality when I'm a 60, 70-year-old man.
No, like,
gut. Like, I don't find that necessary aspect.
I'm a degenerate gambler, okay? I'm a real degenerate gambler. And when I go to the casino, I stay at the craps table like it's a goddamn job. And when you play at the craps table, when you're betting on yourself, you bet on the pass line. And then there's always that one old dude mean mugging the whole table that puts all his money on the don't pass line. So you are essentially rooting for me to lose. And I'm telling you, every time I see someone bet there, I want to fight that man. Like, I want to win. I want to make him lose all his goddamn money. Now I'm not even playing against the casino anymore. Sir, I am here to take your money. Whatever you're putting on the table, I'm trying to match that. I want your fucking money. And this is essentially the same thing what he did. Bill Gates put his money on the don't pass line while Elon's rolling. And Elon said, man, fuck this dude. Who's he think he is? And I'm all for that, bro. I'm 100% all for that.
All right. We'll have to just be on different sides of this this opinion here. And that's okay. Let's keep chugging along a little more Elon news before we wrap up. This one is another Elon company here outside of the Twitter world. Let's talk about SpaceX. And we talked back in the beginning of the Ukraine conflict about kind of the benefit of, you know, the Starlink network, how he shifted Starlink satellites over Ukraine in order to provide Ukraine durable internet when, you know, Russia was crushing their infrastructure. And, you know, at the time we were still hoping this was going to be a kind of a quick thing. We're well into 2 months deep into this conflict in Ukraine now. But what we're getting now is some information about really what took place in those early days when Ukraine was provided the satellite coverage by SpaceX or Starlink. And apparently when Starlink was initially brought on, right away it was brought on to support not just local people, but it was there to support the Ukrainian military in kind of providing their necessary functions for their services as well. And Russia immediately did electronic warfare, and they tried to jam the Starlink satellite systems, and they did temporarily. They were able to jam Starlink. And then Elon's company, within 24 hours, was able to find a workaround, find a solution, and reconfigure how they were transmitting, and had the internet back on in Ukraine within 24 hours. And it's been durable since, essentially making it to where it was unaffected by Russia, other than a short period of time. Down to the point where, like, U.S. Cyber officials, somebody said that it was so fantastic, and how that they found that it was eye-watering to them. In a sense, like, it would take the U.S. government.
That's some weird
shit. It is, but if you're that much of a cyber nerd, then you're that much of a cyber nerd. And they're looking at it like U.S. satellites and what we, like, the government owns can't turn around in 24 hours and fix this problem.
No,
if you're effectively jammed.
It takes Comcast 6 days in a fucking 5 hour window just to come fucking get a tech on my shit, man. This motherfucker had the internet up and running with satellites in less than a day.
So they're just talking about, like, the capability. You know, we've talked about in the past about Starlink probably getting tied into the Department of Defense,
and 100%.
Having specific bands that are going to be supporting U.S. military and allied militaries and stuff like that. And it just goes to show, like, the strength of this. And then maybe eventually, like, the Kuiper, you know, the Amazon's version of this stuff as well, probably providing similar functions and competing for DoD contracts to provide this internet.
Under over. So, okay. Because of this proof of concept now, and how effective it is, and we just made the leap that our government's going to want their own. So then every government's going to want their own. 2030 first satellite crash.
Like, crash into each other?
Yeah, just because there's so many of these fuckers up in the air. Like, under over on 2030, whether that's we get our first satellite crash, not like one coming down to the Earth. I'm talking like French satellite hits the, you know, fucking Belgium satellite. Like, there's gonna be so many up there.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see
I'm going under 2030.
Yeah, I could see one by 2030, like one that falls out of operation or whatever else. They lose control of one and it just kind of veers around and can't adjust course. Sure, I could see that happening.
I am almost positive that Bezos is going to shoot up a couple decoys anyways, just to take out a couple Elons.
Always a possibility. But we got one more story.
Last one.
We're almost wrapped up here. Last one. More Elon. And this is, I think you talked about this before, so this is why I brought it up here, because you mentioned in passing.
I told you.
An episode, and you mentioned it, and I just want to say, like, I found the article you were talking about. Talking about where Elon has stated that his humanoid Optimus robot will be worth more than the car business. Like, this is straight, like, iRobot type mindset, where it's like every house is going to have multiple robots in general. Like, they're going to be worth more. They're going to be more
butlers,
prevalent.
Bro.
Everybody's going to have them. Robot butlers
robot
everywhere.
Robot butlers all and, day.
Yeah. And no. Yeah. No. Elon is it's official. They got an article here. He has definitely said it that he thinks that these damn humanoid robots of his are going to be it. And I just wonder, like, why be humanoid? The human form is not the most efficient walker of the world and stuff like that. I guess it's just,
no.
Like, we just can't grasp
exactly,
like, interacting with something that doesn't have the same shape
it's
as us.
It's psychology. We need it to be familiar. You know, like, if it's too alien,
I find it creepier that it's too human.
I don't know. It's not going to, like, look like us. It's, you know, like, once you look at it and you can't, like, discern, like,
but the humanoid, like, one, it definitely, like, it's shaped, like, with, yeah, shoulders and a head, shoulders, and everything else, right? It's very human stuff. Like, I don't need it to have
once
a fucking head.
Once you put a face on it, no, it's once you put a face on it, now we're crossing a line. just don't put a face on it.
I don't even need it to have a head. Just have appendages that could do things for me. But I don't need you to actually have like a representation of a head.
Headless is way creepier than with the head.
Yeah, but I'm okay with that.
It's way creepier. Yeah, I think, man, I'm trying to raise kids. I can't have my kids walking around the house with a headless robot scaring the shit out of it all the time, man.
I want my robot butler, to have absolutely no head, have normal, probably sized legs, but excessively long, multi-jointed arms that could just get everywhere, right? Like, let that thing stand in the middle of the room and reach the cabinets. Like, that's what I want to see. Like, I don't want a normal human-sized robot that's still having a hard time reaching the top fucking shelf.
I live with three women. I really just want them to stand in the corner and laugh at my jokes. I just want to say something and hear somebody off in the distance go, ha!
Oh, you set the bar low. You have set the bar fucking low.
If I could just get that, it's worth weight in gold.
It's worth more than a car.
If it does laundry, it's a bonus. Instantly, though, my head started going like, so just like Alexa and everything, you know, my Waze has it. What voice do you give it?
Oh, by the time that thing's like fully functional, like you're going to deep fake whoever's voice you want.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Whose voice do you get? Like, I'm really leaning hard towards Stallone.
Oh, see, again, I don't want mine to be like, I don't ever want to like think that I actually like have a human around. Like, no, 100%, I want mine like, to be like Johnny Five Alive.
Yeah, it is like and most people go with like the British chick or like, no, I want full like Rocky One. Like, can you make me some toast? Yeah, I'm eating toast. I would love that.
We have completely different demands from our future robots. The sad thing is, I know for a fact that you are way closer to the future.
Everybody, I mean, you can't expect too much from these things, you know, right away. Like, it's gonna be some rudimentary, you know, assistance, carry some boxes, you know. But if all it can do is some basic household tasks, I want some of the software bells and whistles that would be really easy to airdrop into that thing's brain as we get further down the road.
Airdrop. You're going to be paying for those upgrades. Get out of here. All right. That's a week in news. That's it. A healthy Elon segment to wrap off the show here. If you think of an Elon pun or something to name like, the Elon segment, if we ever get a week like this again.
Fucking muskrat. Then, muskrat is the only thing that comes to my goddamn brain other than musketeer. Like, I got muskrat. And what the fuck do you put Elon on? Like, there's no, like... Yeah, I got nothing, man. And I've thought hard. I'm good at this shit.
If you think of something, go ahead and drop it over in the group over at thenerdcantina.com/community. Join us, and no matter what.
Yeah, make me feel dumb.
Drop us the pun or
give us your robot voice
name.
Yeah, give us your robot voice. What robot voice you going with?
But other than that, hey, we're just gonna keep asking. Because I still don't see us.
I got some people to rate.
On I
got
Spotify. I've been, too. I don't know how many we need to get, but it might be more than our total listenership. Sons of bitches.
They don't tell you that where that bar is set, so we're just going to keep pedaling.
But yeah, give us a rating on the Spotify platform. Just go to the overall Nerd Cantina like total episodes page. It's got a little button there to give it a rating. Do that thing.
Do it.
All right. Till next week, nerds.
See ya.